The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Hey folks, I challenge you to think of at least one thing you no longer do that you wish you could. Do you miss like playing golf, maybe long walks with your spouse, sleeping through the night? Are you ready to start living without pain? My colleagues and friends, Hugh Hewitt, Dennis Prager, Mike Gallagher, have been talking about their own successful experience with Relief Factor, and you can add Eric Metaxas to that list. Relief Factor is changing the lives of tens of thousands of Salem radio listeners by reducing and even eliminating daily aches and pains. ReliefFactor.com is full of great success stories, and now I am on board. For just $19.95, Relief Factor is offering a three-week quick start that could help you live your life with little to no pain. Go to ReliefFactor.com to see testimonials from folks all over the country. I love reading them. Over 70% of those that try Relief Factor continue as a customer. Feel the relief and get back your independence and freedom from the aches and pains of everyday life. Go to ReliefFactor.com. Read the testimonies. I tell all my relatives to take it. ReliefFactor.com.
Welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show.
Just yesterday, I caught a wild bird with my bare hands, and then I set it free, because that's just who I am. When you love something, you set it free.
But first, you must catch it with your bare hands. That's the rule.
And now, my friend Eric Metaxas, who is a lot like that caught bird.
Fly, little Eric, fly. Be free and fly.
Fly to your microphone in the mountains. Yawk! Yawk!
Oh, Todd, you're such a sweetie pie to those who don't know you at all. Hey, folks, as you know, this is the show about everything. And everything, if you put stuff under the rubric of everything, that's a lot of stuff. Under the rubric of everything falls something I like to call culture, show business, all that great stuff. And every now and again, we get to have a conversation about Broadway actors. I am sitting here in the studio. You can see that I'm almost literally bursting with excitement. I have in front of me a book, a brand new book called Still Here. It's the madcap, nervy, singular life of Elaine Stritch. Some of you are saying, oh, my goodness, Elaine Stritch. Others are saying, who's Elaine Stritch? That's why I do this program. The author of this brand new book, Alexandra Jacobs, is with us in the studio. Alexandra, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
Listen, when I saw that this book was out, I probably saw it in the Times or something like that, and I thought, wow. Somebody has taken the trouble to write a bio of this amazing woman, Elaine Stritch. So my first question has to be, before we say anything about Elaine Stritch, what led you to pick this? Because when somebody says they're going to write a book, I've written three biographies. It's not an easy thing.
You know, it's a lot of work.
So yeah. What led you to choose this as a subject?
Well, Eric, I'm not a spiritual person, but I really think that I didn't choose Elaine so much as Elaine choosing me. I hadn't met her when she was alive. I knew who she was. But I was going through a really hard time in my life. My father had died, and I'd taken on a fashion beat at the New York Times, which was a terrible fit. And I was coming home from Milan or Paris or something, and I saw a Stephen Sondheim documentary on HBO in the plane, and I just started crying because I remembered that all the Sondheim shows that I cared about. And in this documentary, there is a clip from a D.A. Pennebaker documentary of Company, which was sort of Elaine's signature show.
Right.
And I just was enraptured by this woman. I thought, that's the same woman who was in At Liberty, the show at the Public. And I thought, how did she get from that, which was 1970, to there, 2001? And she had died a month after my father. When I got home, I sort of immersed myself in every Sondheim show, every Stritch production I could get my hands on. And then I heard she was having a memorial service in November. I went to the memorial service and you know, it was like all my sources were around me. Yes.
Oh, my gosh. That's so cool.
No, it was like a theater full of people to interview, basically.
Isn't it funny how we're now living in a world where watching things on planes is a way that we live our lives? In other words, there are things that I have watched on planes that I would probably never watch outside of a plane.
Like, and were you, it just would, so you happens, would you cry?
Well, oh, yeah. Yeah. I've seen a number of documentaries on planes. I've seen a couple of movies. I think I saw my first Wes Anderson film on a plane. And there's something bizarre about watching it on such a small screen. And also, your experience is there's kind of an intensity because you're alone in this seat, you know. And I think that I saw, it wasn't a Elaine Stritch, but it was probably... Oh, her name is slipping out of my head. She's the one. She like was the founding editor of Vogue. You know who I'm talking about. She's the one.
The founding editor, not Anna Wintour.
No. I wouldn't watch
Diana Vreeland.
Diana Vreeland, and you just kind of fall into this thing, and then you wake up. So it was on a plane that somehow. Now, obviously, you're a big theater aficionado since you're excited about Stephen Sondheim and so on and so forth. But you really weren't familiar with Stritch until you saw this.
You know, I grew up in New York, and I went to the theater. My parents were musical. I played the viola. I went to the theater a lot as a child, and I was interested in it. But then, you know, I didn't go into it professionally. Yeah. I had kids. I wasn't going to the theater that much. It really was like a coming home for me to sort of get acquainted with her.
The first thing you mentioned, Company, is that where she sings Ladies Who Lunch?
That's right, yeah.
So that's kind of like her signature song, right?
That's right. And it's an ensemble piece, and ostensibly Bobby is the star of the show. Bobby is the single man sort of at the heart of the show. But I feel in my research I really learned that Joanne, the character that Elaine played and who's now being played by Patti LuPone in a new production of Company, that Joanne is sort of, she's a linchpin of the production. She's just almost as important as Bobby.
Well, okay, so for folks who don't know anything about Elaine Stritch, let you tell them. There are tons of folks listening or whatever. They just that this is not their world. Who's Elaine Stritch?
Well, people listening might. Probably she's most famous, funnily enough, for starring on 30 Rock on NBC. She played Alec Baldwin's mother.
That's right, and that's exactly right. Most people listening right now would know her from that. But it's so odd because that's just a few years before she died, and before that. I mean, she has this career spanning from hanging out with Brando and everybody. I mean,
it's a marathon. Yeah.
She was an actress's actress. I mean, she was, or an actor's actor, as you must say today. She was really working with the best from the beginning.
That's right. Somehow, I say she has a Zelig-like quality, which is really, it's an overused phrase, I think, but in her case, it really applies.
I'd like to think of myself as having a Zelig-like quality.
Did you pop up next to John F. Kennedy at the Stork Club?
I have met Woody Allen four times.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
But did she pop next to
yes,
Kennedy at the Stork Club?
Yes, there's actually a picture. There's a picture that I secured for the book of her sitting next to Kennedy.
I actually missed that. How
yeah.
did I miss
no,
that?
No, I don't. There are lots
incredible.
Of. I crammed a lot of pictures in there at
That's
some
your job.
Expense.
Yeah. That's your job to cram a lot of pictures in there. But I've got to check
ones.
That out.
Yeah.
It is so hilarious to think that this woman. I see there's a picture of her with somebody who looks like Jerry Lewis. Of course, it's not. It's an amazing.
There's Noel Coward. You're paging past Noel Coward.
I saw Noel Coward.
And I chose that picture on purpose because usually when you see Noel Coward, he's very polished and he's wearing a suit and looking very sophisticated.
Yeah.
That's a picture I found in London that really where they're just you can see them you know
right.
relaxing off the cuff
with
a baby that is neither of theirs. And I thought that was a crazy picture.
I see her with Ben Gazzara, and of course here she is sitting next to the slightly inebriated JFK. Next to Ethel, next to Robert.
Amazing, right?
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Well, she was all over the place. I'll tell my audience very briefly, and you, how I met her. I have an eclectic interest obviously, in so many different things. And I'd followed her a little bit and was always fascinated with her energy and where there's something about her. She's brassy but not offensive. She's not like transgressive to be transgressive. She's just who she is. She's this larger-than-life actress. But I always found something sweet about her. There's just something genuine and sweet about her. And one day, probably about 8 years ago, I was, you know, running, jogging, and I'm coming down Park Avenue, and a block away, at least a block away, I see a woman from behind in a big coat, and instantly I know Elaine Stritch. Now, I have a sixth sense. Some of my friends think I'm a superhero called Celebrifinder. But it's no joke. From a dark alley from 100 yards, I can see the side of a head and just go, Keenan Wynn or whatever it is. And I thought, oh, my gosh. So I ran up to her. And are we going to – how many seconds do we have? 45. We have seconds. Well, I ran up to her. And, of course, it was Elaine Stritch. I'd recognized her from her famous spindly legs. Okay. I mean, it's crazy, yes. Right? So anyway, when we come back from the break, folks, we're going to continue our conversation with Alexandra Jacobs about Elaine Stritch, and I'll tell you what Elaine Stritch said to me. This is the Eric Metaxas Show. Don't go away.
So many things I could have done. The clouds got in my way. I've looked at clouds from both sides now, from up and down.
Does your dog itch, scratch, stink, or shed like crazy? Come to Dynavite for help. Order a 90-day supply of Dynavite. Pick up 2 bottles of Lico Chops, get the third bottle free. New improved Lico Chops with omega-6, omega-3, vitamin E, and now 6 extra direct-fed microbials. Even better for the digestive tract and immune system. And dogs love it. Try Lico Chops. Buy 2, get 1 free. This is Henry Lukasevic for Dynavite.
DINOVITE.com.
The holidays are a time for family. Until you mention politics, and then it's all screaming meltdowns.
I'm Dennis Prager. There's no more important issue facing America today. Americans are afraid to speak out even at their own holiday table. But there is a film that is fighting back, No Safe Spaces.
No Safe Spaces? It really is fantastic. You should go check it out.
I am over the moon about No Safe Spaces. Every American needs to see this.
See No Safe Spaces, only in theaters. Rated PG-13. Go to nosafespaces.com for tickets.
Guys, waking up over and over to urinate is not okay. But now, you can reduce those nighttime bathroom trips with the ingredients in Super Beta Prostate P3 Advanced. We're talking about less urges to urinate at night, less bathroom trips during the day, and better bladder emptying.
It's like taking 3 prostate supplements in one.
You can try a full 30-day bottle of P3 Advanced, free. Just pay shipping and handling. No strings attached, no obligations, and no commitments to buy. This is a 30-day supply, absolutely free.
Call 1-800-424-8908.
Super Beta Prostate is the best-selling brand in major retailers like Walmart. But for this no-strings-attached free bottle, you must call now.
Call 1-800-424-8908.
Don't miss out on this unprecedented free offer.
1-800-424-8908. 1-800-424-8908.
Hey folks, the team at MyPillow is grateful for you this holiday season, and they're so grateful they have an amazing offer. Buy one, get one free on their incredible sheet sets. Mike Lindell has come out with the world's most comfortable bed sheets. He finally found the best cotton in the world in a region where the Sahara Desert, the Nile River, and the Mediterranean Sea all come together to create the ideal weather conditions for growing cotton. His new Giza Dream bed sheets are made with this long staple cotton, and he guarantees they'll be the most comfortable sheets you'll ever own. He says, the first night you sleep on my sheets, you'll never want to sleep on anything else. The Giza Dream Sheets are available in a variety of colors, and like all of Mike's products, they come with a 60-day money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. Right now, you can buy one, get one free by calling 800-978-3057 and use the promo code ERIC or Metaxas for a limited time. You can buy one, get one free, plus free shipping. Call 800-978-3057 or go to MyPillow.com, MyPillow.com, but make sure you use the promo code ERIC or Metaxas. ERIC or Metaxas, go for it.
Hi, this is Dennis Prager. It's been a big year for the Rational Bible, both volumes, Genesis and Exodus. They've been Amazon bestsellers since they were published. Writing these books is my life's work. Many of those who have read the books have called them life-changing. CEOs are now giving the books to their employees as gifts. At a recent event in Dallas, the president of a local company purchased over 500 copies of the Rational Bible Exodus to give to her employees. Regardless of your religious beliefs, or even if you don't have any, I believe it's so important that these books be read. I've asked the folks in the Prager store to give all companies that are buying at least 24 books a 50% discount on autographed copies of the Rational Bible, Genesis, and Exodus. If you're looking for a holiday gift for your employees or clients, go to PragerStore.com and click the banner that says Corporate Discounts. Whatever someone's religious beliefs, they will enjoy these powerful books. Go to PragerStore.com.
Hey, good for you. We're trying to do a radio show here. Folks, I'm talking to the biographer of Elaine Stritch. The book is still here. The Madcap, Nervy, Singular Life of Elaine Stritch, Alexander Jacobs, the author. Okay, Alexander, I got to finish my silly anecdote. So I spot her from, like, you know, a 20th of a mile away from behind. I run up to her. Now, this is in the neighborhood of the Carlisle Hotel, and I knew that she lived in the Carlisle
Hotel. What year was this?
Hotel. It's like literally 9 years ago, eight years ago, something like that. So I run up to her, and I'm just in awe that I get to say hello, like sweating and wearing my jogging stuff, right? And I said something to her. I don't know what. And she says, totally, she was absolutely friendly. And she says, and what do you do? And I said, I'm a writer. I just published a biography about Dietrich Bonhoeffer. He was a pastor in Germany who got involved in the plot to kill Hitler. And she's, she's just really good. And I said, unfortunately, he was killed right at the end of the war by the Nazis in a concentration camp. As soon as I said that, she says, blank, the S word. But like loud on Park Avenue. And I thought, this is so Elaine Stritch, because she was clearly upset that this noble pastor who stood up against the Nazis was killed. And so she says this, expletive. And I just thought, this is the funniest moment, because she was so genuine and so wonderful. And we continued talking. She was talking to me about her relationship with the church. And she says, I pray every night and whatever. But it was like this absolutely delightful conversation. Of course, it was long before I had the show. Otherwise, I would have dragged on here. Yeah. But I just feel so happy that I had the opportunity to meet this amazing woman. So that I'm done now. That's my entire experience of Elaine Stritch. But so you say that, you know, you think that she chose you, or the subject chose you. A lot of times people talk about it, but a lot of people do say that. It's interesting how that works.
Well, I felt it, a lot of people said that when I signed on to do the book, and you know that involved some, appeal to the family and her lawyer and everything like that. A few people who were more seasoned theater critics or reporters than I was, there was some feeling of, why is she doing it?
And how dare you?
Exactly. And I couldn't really answer that, except a very good friend of mine said, Elaine Stritch kind of knew everybody. So the fact that you didn't know her is actually to your advantage, because you can look at her from a distance. And then, you know, she had these incredible volumes of papers, letters and telegrams and other stuff in the New York Public Library. Nobody had looked at that stuff before. So
isn't that amazing?
It's incredible.
And who's to say other people can't write biographies of her? But you were the first. I've actually had the same thing happen to me when I've written biographies, that people who, not that they knew the person, but they almost feel a proprietary sense. And then think, who's this outsider? You don't do that. Who are you?
Yeah.
And it's very kind of elitist and disdainful. But I actually do think what you just said is true, that when you have some distance, you can look at the thing just objectively and just tell the story that's there. And sometimes people can't do that if they're too close to it.
We're drawn to subjects for mysterious reasons. And I very quickly found points of commonality between myself and Elaine.
Like what?
Well,
you're a big smoker.
We're women. I thought it was important her story be written by a woman, even though she has many, many male fans.
Yeah.
Because she really was sort of a pioneer for, I mean, she wasn't a I don't think she necessarily would have called herself a feminist. But
oh, no, that's why I love her, because she was a feminist without calling herself
that's
a
right.
feminist.
She was really quite revolutionary yeah. for her time. She came, and considering her background, she came from a very traditional Catholic background in Detroit, and her older sisters got married and had children and led kind of conventional, wonderful lives. But, you know, that was not what Elaine wanted for herself. And she came to New York all by herself, lived alone, you know, rejected marriage.
Now, she knew that she wanted to be an actress early on. And how did she come to that?
Well, I think the two older sisters are really the whole Stritch family is fascinating. And her nieces and nephews are all wonderful. Most of them are still alive. And I think that, you know, she had these very attractive, successful older sisters. And when you're the third child, and particularly the same sex, I think there's always a question of, like, you know, do they want another girl? Or, like, did they, you know, are they disappointed? And one of Elaine's nieces joked that her father actually wanted three boys. So you can imagine the stage is set for this kind of feeling, having to grab attention, having to, you know, right. she was very insecure about her look. She felt she was not as pretty as her sisters.
Well, see, that's what's so interesting. She's not conventionally pretty.
Yeah, that's right.
That's a fact.
Yeah.
But she has such personality, and there are many people like this, that their personality absolutely overcomes that, and they become very attractive by dint of their personality.
That's right.
Which is an amazing thing. In her case, it's the classic story.
That's right. She developed this persona, you know, this sort of joking around and being funny and being lively and singing and performing, essentially, to get attention from a very young age.
Yeah. And so, okay, so she comes to New York. What happens to her initially? I mean, when people talk about coming to New York, what does that even mean?
Yeah, well, in her case, she was lucky because she had protective parents, and they, at that point, were of certain means, and they were able to put her up at the Duchesne School on the Upper East Side. So that was like a Catholic finishing school.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's
yeah.
so
Yeah,
funny.
So, you know, she was cosseted at first. But, you know, also she's coming to New York at an incredible time.
Did you say cosseted?
I did.
Alvin, $50. No one's ever used that word on this program. It's a great word. If you're the first one to use it,
I got more.
$50.
Okay. So she's put up, and then, but, you know, it's 1943. Leonard Bernstein is taking on the New York Philharmonic. Oklahoma's in theaters. It was just an incredibly rich time for culture in New York at that time. And she just kind of stumbled into it. She didn't know. So she's there at the Duchesne, and then she's attending classes at the New School, what would become the New School, at Edwin Piscator's acting school.
Right.
And she happens to be surrounded by a lot of people who would go on to become famous, like Marlon Brando and Harry Belafonte and Bea Arthur later. You know,
Arthur.
Yeah.
I mean, every time somebody says Bea Arthur, to me, it's like a punchline. In fact, I've used Bea Arthur as a punchline, but we forget, you know, that we think of her as Maud, but of course she had a long history in the theater, but to be hanging out with Brando, in the 40s, and it's just
it's sort of unfathomable.
I can only think of who else was around that time. Probably, I don't know, Barbara Harris. I don't know.
Like, yeah.
There's all these actors and actresses that seem to have come out of that world,
right? Because, you know, iPhones, not TV, not really a thing yet.
Well, Lee Strasberg's Institute is like three doors down from where we're sitting right here.
Yes, Stritch was not a Strasberg person, although some of her boyfriends were. But but she was a Stella Adler acolyte.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm so dumb, I get them confused.
Well, everybody does.
Stella
it's confusing.
Adler.
I'm still not sure I
acolyte.
On all the...
Okay. So her first hits were in the theater.
Yeah, that's right. And you know, I mean, she was just very, very hardworking. She did pretty much everything, and she was really a fierce negotiator before that was, you know, something that before women were told to lean in. She was leaning in for sure.
Right.
And really going it on her own for many years.
I get the impression if somebody told her to lean in, she would have told them to butt out.
Yeah, or more colorfully, perhaps.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, I like the title, The Madcap, Nervy, Singular Life of Elaine Stritch. And I guess the reason I like it so much is because she seems to me a throwback. There's something about this kind of a character. I mean, on the cover, she's posed half smirking with a cigarette. And you realize that there were more colorful people like this. I mean, when you think of Auntie Mame, you know, that there are these characters that you feel like they don't exist so much anymore. Like, we've rounded the edges off of people.
Yeah, probably. So, I mean, it's funny. At least one of my friends said, you shouldn't do MadCap. It's too trivializing. And also said that it was trivializing of her alcohol problem. You know, that it suggested that sort of her drinking was something that was just fun for her and not also very dark.
Well, did her tell us about that. Did it seriously negatively affect her life?
Because
that part I don't know.
Honestly, that was one of the trickiest parts of the book to report and write because, you know, she was an Alcoholics Anonymous. There was a certain amount of, you know, it was challenging to research all of that. It's very delicate subject material.
Yeah.
But Elaine was always very transparent and forthcoming about her drinking, and she really kind of mirrored America's drinking culture. I mean, she was born during the thick of Prohibition, and then Prohibition's lifted, and then, you know, cocktail culture's ascendant, and she's just taking part in that. And again, I think that, you know, a lot of men, the Rat Pack, were drinking as enthusiastically and transparently as Elaine was.
They're drinking and smoking endlessly. It's what everyone did.
Yeah.
And, of course, it, you know, killed most of that generation.
Right.
But it's interesting. Now, why did you title the book Still Here?
Well, so that is a fragment of the Stephen Sondheim song, I'm Still Here, which became a sort of anthem for Elaine toward the end of her life.
Because she was, in fact, still here.
Still here.
Okay, we're going to be coming right back, folks. It's the Eric Metaxas Show. We're talking about Elaine Stritch with her biographer, Alexandra Jacobs. Don't go away.
With SRN News, I'm John Scott. A law professor and witness for the Republicans explained to lawmakers today why he thinks impeaching President Trump would be wrong. Jonathan Turley teaches at George Washington University and is one of four professors testifying in the House impeachment inquiry. Turley told members of the House Judiciary Committee that he thinks the impeachment proceedings are being rushed for no reason. He also says the evidence against the president is not strong enough to meet the threshold of an impeachable offense. Ending the summit just north of London to mark NATO's 70th anniversary, the leaders have announced that they would set up a commission of experts to study political decision-making. Stocks are broadly higher on Wall Street. The Dow is ahead 203 points, the NASDAQ up 58, the S&P 24 points higher. This is SRN News.
If you have Medicare, the deadline for annual enrollment is days away. Make sure your plan is still the right fit with a free service from Health Markets. Health Markets' new Fit Score compares thousands of Medicare plans from national insurance companies. In minutes, you'll know if your current plan is the right fit or if there's one that can get you extra coverage, let you keep your doctor, and save you money. Health Markets could help you find plans with $0 copays, $0 deductibles, and $0 premiums, or plans with dental and vision coverage for no additional cost. You could even find plans that offer benefits for hearing aids, diabetic supplies, or gym memberships, or vitamins, meal delivery, and transportation to your appointments. Best of all, their service is free. The deadline for Medicare enrollment is days away, and the wrong plan could cost you thousands. Don't put it off. For this smart, unbiased, and free service, go to healthmarkets.com for details, or call 800-713-4042. That's 800-713-4042. 800-713-4042.
I couldn't sleep at night. All I could think about was my credit card debt.
I knew I couldn't get a loan, so the thought of owning a home or a new car seemed totally out of the question.
I was afraid to answer the phone, and I dreaded the mail.
It just felt like my credit card debt was this deep pool, and I was just drowning in it.
This might be you right now, and you should know you're not alone.
There is hope.
Right now, certified counselors at Trinity Debt Management are standing by and ready to help you, not judge you.
One call to 1-800-990-6976, and you'll find hope to live your life out from under the weight of credit card debt.
Trinity will consolidate your accounts into one easy-to-manage monthly payment.
Put a stop to late fees and over-limit charges, reduce your interest, and possibly improve your credit score. You'll save thousands.
If your debt has you down, we should talk. Call 1-800-990-6976. That's 1-800-990-6976.
I'll say goodbye to all my sorrow, and by tomorrow I'll be on my way. I guess the Lord must be in New York City.
Ain't it the truth? Ain't it the truth? Hey, folks, I'm talking to the author of Still Here, The Madcap Nervy Singular Life of Elaine Stritch. You have encomia on the back of this
$50
book, Alexandra. Right. Alec Baldwin, who knew her well, Sarah Silverman, Simon Doonan. You got to be a real theater guy to know Simon Doonan. but people are raving about your writing, and I think that, you know, you have such a great subject in Elaine Stritch that it would be a crime, you know, if the writing weren't equal to her, because she is such a character. And so I have to say, it must have been fun writing about her, at least sometimes.
It was a lot of fun. I mean, there were definitely several moments when I sort of squealed with my good fortune. I mean, you know, as a biographer, you come across these things where you just can't believe what you're finding. And that was, I felt like, to find out how many people she was actually connected to and how far she went beyond the theater was really incredible.
Now, she did have kids?
No, she didn't have kids. She was married for 10 years to a man named John Bay, who was an English muffin heir. Or
what?
Scion. Well, yes.
So have you heard of English muffin heir?
Scion. Is it Scion or Scion?
I don't know.
$40. Anyway, she you know Thomas's English muffins.
Well, yes.
So Bay's English muffins is kind of Pepsi to
actually, you know
Thomas's
what? I have
Cokes.
Heard of that. Yes,
yeah.
I have.
Elaine met this guy when she was working on a Tennessee Williams production called Small Craft Warnings in London, after she'd gone over there for the London tour of Company. They fell in love, and they also were both drinkers, and they lived together in the Savoy Hotel for almost a decade.
Tough life.
Yeah.
Lived together. I love the Savoy Hotel, but I can't really afford to be there more than maybe a night or two, if I'm lucky. But she lived in the Savoy
Hotel. She lived
Hotel
in the Savoy Hotel.
With this man?
She was sort of a hotel aficionado.
Yeah, she was.
You knew her when she was
here
at the Carlisle, right?
Yeah.
And she really loved hotels and sort of preferred to live in them than deal with, you know, domestic arrangements.
But can you imagine how wonderful it would be to live in a luxury hotel? I mean, I was just saying that we interviewed on this program the author of the book A Gentleman in Moscow, which is about someone who spends decades in the Metropole Hotel in Moscow. And you know that there are people, mostly from the past, who would live like that. When I found out, you know, not so many years ago that Elaine Stritch had been living for years in the Carlisle, I thought, what a gig.
Yeah,
like, what
exactly.
A cool thing.
Well, at the Carlisle, she was actually, it was in exchange for her performing there.
Right.
So she often would have these favorable financial arrangements where, when she was at the Savoy, she would plug the hotel nonstop on
right.
the TV show she was starring.
And why not?
So, yeah,
it's a great hotel.
Know, if you had a hotel to plug, maybe.
Alvin, that's what I need. I need that level of fame so that I can get a suite at these hotels. I mean, it would just be so amazing.
You never have to do the dishes.
It is so funny, though, to be living in a hotel. So for 10 years, she lived in London.
Yeah, that's right.
I wasn't clear on that.
Yeah.
And this must have been, what, the 50s?
70s.
That's what I meant, the 70s.
After the company.
Oh, that's right.
Right.
That's right. That makes sense. That makes sense. So
and then
are
she
kind
came
of like
back because of
her
the
middle
taxes.
Years, kind of.
That's right, yeah.
And she came back because
of
the
taxes.
Because the taxes are so high in London.
That's right.
Yeah, socialism is evil. I keep forgetting to mention that. People plug the Savoy. I plug capitalism, virtuous capitalism. But it is kind of wild that that happens to people. So she's there and she's like, I've had enough. I'm moving back. So she comes back here. And what does she do at that point? I can't remember what.
Well, her husband, I mean, I don't want to spoiler alert, but her husband, and I don't mean to sound flip about that at all, because he got a brain tumor and died not shortly after they moved back. So she
I can't
was
believe
on
you
again.
Would make fun of cancer.
Oh, my
How
God.
How dare you?
I'm,
no, so come
I'm
on.
Chagrined.
Stop it.
No.
So he died and then
he died,
she moved back.
Was, no. They came back and then they
oh
moved to Nyack.
Gosh.
He got sick and died. And then she was alone again, which, she, you know, again, she really was alone, even though she dated some very prominent and successful actors. She was alone, fundamentally alone for much of her life. And I think a lot of her life is about that kind of struggle of wanting to be with someone, but also wanting your solitude.
And she did date JFK.
Well,
we don't know.
She certainly consorted with JFK.
Yeah, you know, that seems to be JFK's shtick, consorting with people One night only.
Well, Elaine, you know, so she had this show at Liberty that was a big hit in 2001, right after 9/11.
And that was called...
Elaine Stritch at Liberty.
Elaine Stritch at Liberty. And that was, it was a one-woman...
It was a one-woman show with music, yeah. Co-written with John Lahr.
And co-written with John Lahr.
John Lahr, who was then the New Yorker's theater
did
critic.
Did you interview John Lahr for this book?
Yes, I did, and he was wonderful.
That is so cool.
Now, I mean, I wish he could have written it, frankly.
You know, that's how I was going to think. When you mentioned about people thinking they should write it, the first person I thought of was John Lahr.
Yeah.
Because there are certain people you feel like that's what, you know, that's what they do.
He would have been wonderful, but he very generously consented to be interviewed.
I have to say that I quoted his father earlier in the program when I said, ain't it the truth, ain't it the truth? That, of course, is Burt Lahr as the Cowardly Lion. And there are these lines that they kind of bounce around in our heads.
Well,
you know?
There's a big Wizard of Oz theme running through my book.
Are
actually,
you kidding?
One of the opening quotes is from not the movie version of Wizard of Oz, but the book, because you may not remember this, but I don't know if you ever read the book, but the wizard offers the lion, you know, the lion's afraid, as many of us are.
Yeah.
And in the movie, the lion gets a medal. But in the book, the wizard gives the lion a potion, an elixir.
Right.
And so I thought this was this incredible, obviously, metaphor for drinking and liquid courage. And that's
liquid
one of those.
Liquid courage.
That's right. And that's one of the moments when I got chills because, of course, there's kind of a... I find there's a through line of the Wizard of Oz throughout the book, and then Elaine later works with John Lahr, whose father, Bert, played the Cowardly Lion.
We need
in
to
the
come
movie.
Back to this. This is great stuff.
Rich.
I hope I can get Alexander Jacobs to come back for the next segment. Don't go away. Hey, folks, Eric Metaxas here. There's something you all need to know about Relief Factor and about Pete and Seth Talbot, the father and son owners. As you know, they're on a real mission to help as many people as possible get out of pain, and they've been a consistent sponsor of the show for several years. In radio, sponsors come and go. They may even stay for a year or so. It sounds like they're doing super, and then they're gone. Well, not so with Relief Factor. Pete and Seth are consistent year after year, and that's because tens of thousands of people are now taking Relief Factor every day for their back and neck pain. I'm one of them. Shoulder pain, knee pain, hip pain. And they are now in less or no pain at all. All these people, it's as simple as that. It works. That's why I've joined Pete and Seth on their mission to help you get out of pain today. And the first step is to order the 3-week quick start pack for $19.95. If you're still skeptical, remember, it's not just me. There are tens of thousands of other nice people who would happily tell you to give it a try. It can be done. It could be at your door in just 2 to 3 days. Go to relieffactor.com. Remember, relieffactor.com. It works. It works.
Hey, Mike, how's the house coming along?
Needs a ton of work. The pipes are leaking. Needs a new roof. The AC just broke. I just don't have time to do it all myself. You know anyone?
Oh, just ask Home Advisor. They match you with the best local pros for any home project.
Cool.
Yeah, you can read reviews and book appointments online.
What's it cost?
Actually, Home Advisor is always free to use.
Nice. I'll check it out.
Go to HomeAdvisor.com or download the free app.
Home Advisor.
Hi, this is Dennis Prager. It's been a big year for the Rational Bible, both volumes, Genesis and Exodus. They've been Amazon bestsellers since they were published. Writing these books is my life's work. Many of those who have read the books have called them life-changing. CEOs are now giving the books to their employees as gifts. At a recent event in Dallas, the president of a local company purchased over 500 copies of the Rational Bible Exodus to give to her employees. Regardless of your religious beliefs, or even if you don't have any, I believe it's so important that these books be read. I've asked the folks in the Prager store to give all companies that are buying at least 24 books a 50% discount on autographed copies of the Rational Bible, Genesis, and Exodus. If you're looking for a holiday gift for your employees or clients, go to PragerStore.com and click the banner that says Corporate Discounts. Whatever someone's religious beliefs, they will enjoy these powerful books. Go to PragerStore.com.
Hello, neighbor.
It's a beautiful day in this neighborhood, a beautiful day for a neighbor.
Based on the true story of the friendship between Mr. Rogers and a cynical journalist.
You love broken people like me.
Sometimes we have to ask for help, and that's okay.
Starring Tom Hanks and Matthew Reese, A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood. Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested. In theaters now. For tickets and showtimes, go to resources.abeautifulday.movie.
G'day, I'm Scott from Plug-In Pest Free. If you have a rodent or pest problem at your home or business, don't spray harmful toxic chemicals. Use Plug-In Pest Free, the electromagnetic pest control device that uses your wiring to get rid of pests fast. Just plug it in. I know a pest controller who was contracted to get rid of a cockroach infestation in a restaurant. He tried everything, even chemicals. Nothing worked. So he bought my Plug-In Pest Free Pro, and a few weeks later, the cockroach problem was well under control, and he was able to keep his contract. Plug-In Pest Free is not a sonic device. It's chemical-free and gets rid of pests safely and effectively for years. It comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee and a 2-year warranty. Now that's fair dinkum. Order today and get 20% off at gopestfree.com, promo code PEST20. That's gopestfree.com, promo code PEST20. Don't spray and regret. Plug in and forget with Plug-In Pest Free.
Hey there, folks. I'm not going to give Paul McCartney a chance to sing because I have Alexander Jacobs in the studio talking about Elaine Stritch. The new book is Still Here, The Madcap, Nervy, Singular Life of Elaine Stritch. I have to ask you, Alexandra, did Elaine Stritch ever appear in any movies? Because I am blanking. I think of her as exclusively a stage theater person.
She did appear in some movies. They are not what you would call A-list movies.
Really?
There are a few. You know, she had some parts in later years, in small parts in like Monster-in-Law. I think she was Jane Fonda's
friend,
mother-in-law, whatever. But I think she was Jane Fonda's own mother or mother-in-law. I can't remember. But her big bid to be a star in the movies was in A Farewell to Arms, the remake of A Farewell to Arms.
With Rock Hudson. Oh, it's got to be later. No, that's right.
Yeah, and it was the 50s, and it was filming in Italy, and she takes along with her as a sort of assistant Liz Smith, who was not yet a famous gossip columnist. She was at the time just sort of, you know, bumbling around New York and working various jobs.
And she was not at that point an open lesbian.
No, she wasn't.
I only say that just I think to get a rise out of my audience, I guess. I once spilled coffee when I was a busboy downtown, and I spilled coffee on Liz Smith's table. She was hanging out with Paloma Picasso.
Mm-hmm.
So the world just gets smaller and smaller.
Yes.
Like everywhere you go in New York City, you bump into these people.
Liz Smith and Elaine Stritch were best friends.
Why did she drag the Texan Liz Smith to Europe to film a film with Rock
Hudson?
For
company. She wanted company. They were friends.
Doesn't this sound like fun?
Yeah, yes, it does.
Doesn't
well, not the plane
like a,
ride,
like
because
a
it's
blast?
Like a, they took a propeller plane, which sounds like a nightmare.
I mean, Liz Smith is like, you know, was a New York legend. And so I had no idea that they were friends. But to go to say, hey, let's go to Italy and I'm going to film a film with Rock Hudson. You start realizing like it's another era.
That's right.
Right?
Yes. And Elaine was dating Ben Gazzara at the time. But, of course, she was incredibly excited to meet and consort with Rock Hudson.
With Rock Hudson.
However,
but
she didn't
consort
realize
with
that,
him in the way that
no,
she consorted
didn't.
With JFK
well,
because Rock Hudson didn't consort that way?
That's right. And she always claimed, and I believe this, that yeah. she didn't understand Rock Hudson's sexuality. And so she hears Rock Hudson, who's really enjoying Elaine Stritch's company, and they're going, and you know he's married at the time, and they're going out and dating, and Liz Smith is not Liz Smith yet, but other gossip columnists are planning columns and planning
so
items.
So wait,
columns.
So Rock Hudson was married because Hollywood would do that in those
exactly.
days.
Exactly, that's right.
To give him cover.
That's right.
Oh my god!
So they had a lot of fun in Italy, but the movie, to go back to your question, the movie was not a success, and it was actually a flop.
It was a flop.
It
Have
was
you
a flop.
Seen
it? Was an
I mean, I think
flop.
That sometimes flops can still be great movies,
I've seen it, and her performances, it just doesn't hang together. You know, it's one of those big budget, you know, thousands of extras and tons
really?
Of money. And yeah,
with Elaine Stritch.
Yeah, it's worth watching some late night.
I was just
going
to say, I'm wondering if you can find it on Netflix.
You can
or
find
something
it.
Like, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. No, it's. Okay, but movies were not her. She didn't. She really didn't like Hollywood. You know, she loved New York. She loved the theater. The live audience was the thing that really.
I was just
going to
say
her.
That's the thing about her. She has this absolute ability to connect, which you see that with the actors who they thrive in front of a crowd, and then you put them, you know. On a movie set, it's a completely different thing.
That's right.
It's a much smaller performance. We, you know, we've heard this.
And she found
times,
Hollywood very phony. I mean, your encounter on the sidewalk really kind of shows who she was.
No,
you can't be like that in Hollywood. And you know, she sort of famously didn't get the part in The Golden Girls because she tried to put the F word in the script.
Wait a minute.
She went out. She went
for the B. Arthur part.
That's right. Yeah. And she sort of, you know, the story goes that she sassed the casting directors and she, you know.
She was difficult.
She was difficult.
But why do we like difficult people? Because they're fun.
Yeah. Well, she was uncompromising. She had very high standards. She really, what she wanted most was to sing the work of Stephen Sondheim.
Yeah. And she got to do a lot of that.
And she got to do that.
I cannot believe this. I love learning things like this, that she could have been in Golden Girls. Why am I glad that she dodged that bullet? I don't know.
Yeah. Well, she claimed to be glad to have dodged that bullet too, but I think she would have really liked the money.
Yeah. Well, she did live in the Carlisle. But so what did she do after that? Like, I'm trying to remember she was in
after
Liberty.
She appeared in the concert version of Follies that was this sort of epic legendary event in New York in 1985, I think it was.
Right.
And it was the Philharmonic, and it was just the sort of all stars of musical theater.
Yeah.
So that she did that, and then you know the '90s were really kind of a fallow time for her. She did a lot of benefits.
Yeah.
And it was a tough time, but then she started working on her one woman show, and that gave her career a tremendous boost.
I mean, it's kind of funny because when Sinatra says he did it his way, I tend to sneer at Sinatra's version of doing it his way, but she did it her way in a way that, you know, for all of her warts and difficulties, she puts a smile on my face. And I'm not sure exactly why. It's just there was something
she just
wonderful
kept going.
About
she
this
just
woman.
Would not give up. And I think that kind of endurance is very appealing to people.
Yeah. Well, I mean, she really was the real deal. And but the fact that so many people know her as Alec,
I know.
Baldwin's
that had
mother
to be addressed. Yeah, that
on
had to
30
be.
Rock is
it's
hilarious.
A wonderful. Yeah, I mean, it's an important. You know, it was a wonderful part for her and a
well,
wonderful.
Well, she got to sort of be herself. That's so
well,
funny.
How unusual is it? Most actresses do not get more and more famous the older they get.
Right, right. And that, did she know Sarah Silverman or did
she was also she was in a movie with Sarah? Yeah,
in a movie.
Yeah,
another
whose
movie.
Title
what was
I'm
the movie?
Forgetting.
We don't know. We
no,
can
I
look
did
it up.
Know. I just there were so many.
I know. Look, when people ask me about my book, I know less about
the book,
than the person who,
yeah,
who just read
yeah,
it.
Exactly.
So trust me.
No.
Believe me.
Yeah.
That's a fact. But I am just so excited that we got to introduce my audience to you and to this book and for those who didn't know her, to the great Elaine.
She lives on in YouTube.
Stritch.
She really
yes.
is. One of the things I write in the book is that, I mean, one of the things I find so remarkable about her is that she lived in an era when there were telegrams and she lived in an era when there was Twitter.
Yes.
And I mean, how many, but seriously, and she,
not a lot.
The way she spoke
yeah.
and the way the person she was, that kind of immediacy, that translated to both those media.
Now I really wish we had more time. Alexandra Jacobs, a delight. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Don't already know how to go, and I got a peaceful.
Hey folks, Eric Metaxas here. As you know, following Christ is a lifelong pursuit. It requires perseverance, and practice makes permanent. A new study Bible for today is the third edition of the Life Application Study Bible. Read by more than 20 million people, it's the best-selling study Bible in the world. The Life Application Study Bible is not a Bible for a season. It's not for a New Year's resolution. It's not just for hard times. It's a Bible for all times. With more than 10,000 newly updated and expanded notes, charts, maps, timelines, profiles, and more, the Life Life Application Study Bible is the most complete single-volume Bible ever compiled. It is just what you need to apply biblical teaching to your everyday life. As you train for the race God calls each of us to, the Life Application Study Bible is the companion and coach you need by your side every single step of the way. For who you were, who you are, and who God has called you to become for all times. Learn more at lifeapplication.com. That's lifeapplication.com.
With SRN News, I'm John Scott. Democratic lawmakers hit hard at President Trump's dealings with Ukraine in their investigation as the House Judiciary Committee opened its impeachment hearings on Capitol Hill. Three legal experts called by the Democrats said the president indeed merited removal from office. Another one of the scholars, George Washington University law professor Jonathan Turley, summoned by the GOP, says House Democrats have not shown the president should be impeached.
I'm concerned about lowering impeachment standards to fit a paucity of evidence and an abundance of anger. I believe this impeachment not only fails to satisfy the standard of past impeachments, but would create a dangerous precedent for future impeachments.
The hearings are continuing with continued questioning of the constitutional scholars by members of the committee. The Dow ahead 215 points. The NASDAQ is up 62. This is SRN News.
If your family depends on your income and something happened to you, what would happen to them? You need life insurance, and SelectQuote can help you get it at a price you can afford.
SelectQuote found Jacob, 40, who's in excellent health, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for only $19 a month.
Not in perfect health? Don't worry.
SelectQuote found Tanya, 40, who has type 2 diabetes, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for only $32 a month.
We shop companies like Protective, Prudential, American General, and others to find you the company with the best rates. Give your family the security they need at a price you can afford.
For your free quote, call 1-800-880-7474. That's 1-800-880-7474. Or go to SelectQuote.com. That's 1-800-880-7474.
SelectQuote. We shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policies at selectquote.com/commercials. Your premium could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
Out of all the reindeers, you know you're the mastermind. Run, run, Rudolph. Randolph ain't too far behind.
Okay, who can guess who that is?
That's
Chuck Berry.
Ah.
I saw Chuck Berry in Boston in 1985.
Okay, I'm glad it wasn't recently because I would have said what?
Yeah, I would say get out of that hotel because it's haunted. All right, we've been talking, we talked in this hour with Alexandra Jacobs, wonderful journalist, wonderful writer, who, as you have learned, wrote a book about Elaine Stritch. Yeah. And I love... We call this the show about everything because I really do want my audience to get an education. I'm getting an education at the same time on all different kinds of things. And she's just a show business legend.
Yeah.
I had the privilege of meeting her. So I hope that was entertaining. It's, you know, it's got nothing to do with Jesus or Donald Trump. So that's on purpose because I think – we really do want to talk about everything on the program.
Well, I was entertained, so I think.
Oh,
others,
man. You know, no, Elaine Stritch was just an amazing figure.
Great.
And Alexandra Jacobs, I want to have her back as soon as possible to continue talking about similar stuff. In hour two today, we're talking to none other than the great Kevin McCulloch, known as Votestradamus. Votestradamus knows all, tells all. Good luck, charms. And we have to reintroduce Chris Himes to the equation.
Oh, yeah.
He's back working with us. He's the man who coined the term Votestradamus.
Yeah.
And so I think we may have to get him in here if we can today. I don't know if we're going to be able to do that in the next hour.
Yeah,
we'll see.
We'll see.
Okay. Now, two things. Folks, if you buy anything from MyPillow.com, I've got to remind you, because I see these ads all the time, and they say put in code 100 or code this or that. If you do not put in the code ERIC, you're not getting our discount. We have a whopping discount. Let me define that. Whopping. Giganto, huge discount. But you have to use the code ERIC. And so anything you get from them, we always talk. We rave about the mattress topper and every single night.
I think, man, this is comfortable. And I'm telling you, mm-hmm. when it comes to that kind of stuff, I'm pretty hard to please. Like, yeah. I just go, it's all the same. No, it's pretty amazing. There's all these other product tests.
I know. I've watched you sleep only a couple times, and you really want, when you're on that mattress talking.
Yeah, that's the creepiest thing you've said in the last 10 minutes. All right. So,
okay.
And actually, we got some great news. CSI, as you know, we have made a decision that anybody who gives anything to CSI, anything, right? Because we don't want everybody, we know everybody can't give $250 to free a slave. But whatever you give, you're entered in a drawing, and we're going to have a ton of prizes. First of all, three people are going to be chosen. And so trust me, the odds are pretty good in your favor, okay? Because we don't get like 10,000, you know, people donating. So we're going to have three people chosen to get a studio visit. So if you come to New York, and guess what? You can bring your friends. It's not just you. And it's transferable. So let's say you say, well, I never get to New York, but I have a friend who may be going to New York or who lives near New York. It's transferable. Folks, normally to get a studio visit, you have to give $1,000. We are going to draw three studio visits out. So three grand prize winners to get a studio visit. You get signed books. We're also going to have two grand prize winners. So this is five grand prize winners, okay? Two of them are going to be, we're going to mail you all kinds of signed books. We need to give you the list, but trust me, it's impressive. But you have to go to metaxastalk.com, and you have to give something to CSI. We have told you in the past, and we'll continue to tell you why. In fact, in the next hour, we'll tell you more about CSI. So stick around. We'll be back with Kevin McCullough to talk news of the day and other fun stuff.
All right.